This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services provides signature support. It's first day of September. We are 9 weeks away from the November 3rd election. With us to talk about journalism in the age of President Trump is George Sells, the man who was the top anchor in Baton Rouge for nearly a quarter century with Donna Britt, and he's been, some would say, in retirement. But for those of us who know George, for the last 8 years, he's been anything but retiring. He is a man who follows the world as closely as anyone I know, and there is much happening. And President Trump, whether you like him or loathe him, he has been good for business for media in many places. Today in the New York Times, books about politicians and government are not considered surefire commercial hits, but since President Trump entered office, books about his campaign, his administration, his family, his business, his policies, even his golf game have poured out of publishing houses big and small. They've sold millions of copies, and this is unparalleled, and you got to think that if he were to be defeated, as many predict he will in 9 weeks, the age of Joseph Robinette Biden as president would be less sensational, and perhaps the media ratings for Fox News, number one overall among all networks now, will go down. But some believe that that's a price to pay for good government, and they don't like the way Donald Trump is running this country. We're with George Sells to determine how the media are covering this, because there is a new adventure every day. George, the president basically controls the news flow with his tweets, and he has a major ally in Fox News, and the top anchor there is one Sean Hannity. One of these books, Hoax, Donald Trump, Fox News, and the Dangerous Distortion of Truth, already a bestseller from Brian Stelter, says that Mr. Hannity has been doing his show from home for years, so he was perfectly situated when the COVID age came, because he was already there.
I didn't know that, Jim.
He was, and apparently he's been putting on the pounds since the COVID age began, and he vapes incessantly, and he is somewhat worn out by his conversations with the president, who calls him at all hours of the day and night. So that's from Sean Hannity, the man who has a major place in American media, not only with Fox, but also he has the second highest radio show, highest rated radio show in the country, 3 hours a day. He's a busy guy, and he's doing it all from home. Is that the new age?
I guess it is. At least the pandemic has caused a lot of people to go home, and so many people at home, they are getting used to it and liking it. I know that Lester Holt was at home, and the set was done so well that I didn't realize what was happening until one time I heard a dog barking in the background. But Lester's gone back to his studio at 30 Rock since then. As for Hannity, Hannity is so over the top that I can't stay with him more than 10 minutes. I mean, he's still screaming about the
Mueller investigation.
Right? Oh, yeah. He just won't let go. What I do, and this is a secret that if your listeners, if they have a search for any kind of balance and you have a spare TV set, if anything's going on major and it's not on one of the traditional networks, which try to be fair, is I put CNN on one monitor and Fox on the other. Then I cut them in half and find the truth somewhere in between. And this has been the case for years, ever since CNN went over the edge in one direction. And Fox, of course, has always been on the other side. And it's a fine tool, particularly when President Trump started holding his, quote-unquote, briefings on the virus. Trump would go on and on and on and was doing a campaign speech, and CNN wouldn't cover it. But sometimes there would be a gem in what President Trump was saying. For instance, the time he suggested that maybe some of that cleaner from underneath your kitchen sink might kill the virus, and they weren't carrying that. But Fox was, and you got a chance to see news in the making.
Yeah.
But overall, I will tell your listeners one thing that I've learned. By the way, I was offered one of the first jobs as an anchor at CNN in 1979. And the guy who called me, after a 20-minute conversation on the phone, I was an anchor boy in Houston at the time, I said, it'll never work.
And CNN,
he later wrote a book and said that he didn't think it would work either.
Yeah, well,
well it has.
40 years later, it's still going, and not as much as it used to, because obviously imitators have been spawned, and now we have very partisan imitators. On the left, we have MSNBC. On the right, we have Fox. And CNN has become a network, at least in prime time, that attacks the president quite incessantly. But Fox often has ratings that eclipse both CNN and MSNBC combined. So there we are.
But I just want to tell your viewers or your listeners one thing that's important. If it's a breaking story that has nothing to do with politics, CNN has a much bigger base of affiliates who can give you much more detail. Little girl trapped in oil well, for instance.
Right.
They will give you a better shot at the story than Fox will.
And they do a good job on stories like that. And if you're a partisan, you really have places to go. And unfortunately, though, I think quite often people do not get a full glimpse of what's happening in our world if they are just tethered to one channel on a cable network. But we'll talk about it with George. 877-217-5757 is your number, and talk at talklouisiana.org is our email address. Tom in Woodland Ridge. Hi, Tom. You're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, George.
Good morning, sir.
Nice to talk to you. I agree fully with you about the networks and their very biased reporting on both sides. Do you think that exists in local television? And
no.
If not, why not? What's the difference between national and local? And, of course, the best place to get unbiased news is 89.3 WRKF.
There you go. There you go. Thank you, Tom.
You know, I've heard some other people say that, too, and I'm talking about NPR. I've had some friends who are, I think they lean a little toward Trump. But they will say that NPR is the best shot for just right down the middle. Local news does not put the twist to its broadcasts. That's been my observation, and I watch a lot of out-of-town newscasts by streaming. For instance, I watched the 11 o'clock news from Portland, Oregon last night, or really this morning our time. And they don't have time to put a twist on the news, a political twist on the news. They're too damn busy to be fooling with that. They just got to cover. They can't sit back and look at the story in a political way. They've just got to get it. For instance, Portland, Oregon affiliates, last night I was watching KGW-TV. They're the NBC affiliate. And they were too busy with the shooting of the right-wing guy to really put a twist on it at all. I do find that the local stations finally bowed to the real evidence that those were riots that have been going on in Portland for the last 97 days, I think. Not every day. But when the police declared them riots, they were finally calling them riots. At first, they were protests, demonstrations, peaceful demonstrations. But can you imagine living in a city where 97 days, every night, you had demonstrations? Local stations, I never saw the Portland stations put any color on the stories. They just reported them.
JW at Highland Coffee says, can you ask George if he believes that traditional mainstream media, CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, and what major newspapers remain are purveyors of fake news? And does he believe that Fox News is a purveyor of truth and facts?
Is that a loaded question?
That's from JW, who says he's a journalist.
JW. I think that I worked at ABC News for 5 years, and I do know that when you sit in the midst of news people all around you with a New York point of view, that some of that has got to get into your brain. And so you start to think that way. So there is some unconscious prejudice among some of the people. And here's another fact. To be on the air, you have to train up through smaller markets. And that means, for instance, Walter Cronkite, I think, was from Texas or Kansas and then Texas. So he saw the other side of America. But the producers of newscasts on the network level can grow up in New York and have lived there all their lives. And so they have the New York point of view all the time. So that prejudice does get into a newscast because the producers have a lot to do with what gets into the newscast.
But thinking about Hannity doing it from home, I think anchors benefit from being around people who are covering the news and talking about it before they go on the air. And he's in a cocoon and he doesn't have much contact with the world other than the president calling him and talking his ear off.
True. But Hannity at least has the background of having worked in Georgia, I think. He was in Atlanta or someplace.
He's from California, flunked out of college, like Rush Limbaugh, does not have a college degree. Neither does Brian Williams, neither do a lot of journalists. Yeah. But he's done pretty well.
Yeah. Brian Williams, I thought, was a prince and was easily even-handed until he got caught lying. He's a pathological liar.
Well, he's reinvented himself, though. And that's the great American way to come back. And George Sells will be back after this 90-second pause. Your number is 877-217-5757. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Another segment with George Sells, veteran and venerable anchorman. Worked in Denver, Houston, Philadelphia, New York. Lots of big places. Nashville, probably missing a few stops on the road. All bigger markets than Baton Rouge, by the way. And then in 1988, he got a call from Carlton Cremines. Detroit was where he was working then, and Carlton offered him a job at a significant pay cut, and George took it. George, you know what he told me? I don't think I've ever told you this. He said, I didn't think I was going to get him because, you know, he's got a big talent. He's worked in these huge markets. But he said, I told him he would be king of the world here. And he said, George had that anchor ego.
Well, he was absolutely right. Plus, I already had all the money in the world. I didn't really need a big pay salary because I was one of the, what they called the gunslingers. I went from market to market making more and more money. So I didn't need a lot of money. I wanted to play television. I'd never been allowed to touch a camera or touch anything because of union restrictions and all these other big places. So why not come home and play TV? And I'm also a native Southerner, so it wasn't hurt to come down here.
When you came here, you were all of 45 years old.
Yeah.
You were still a young man.
Yeah.
And by today's standards, at 77, you could be president of the United States. You're born the same year as the guy who's the favorite to win the election. What do you think about people hanging on longer and longer now?
I'll tell you what. This is something I've thought about a lot. I'm exactly 1 month older than Joseph Biden. And I'll tell you what. I worry about his ability to maintain himself in the job of president if he's elected. Because I know that, I mean, right here on this radio program one day, I'm sitting talking about somebody, and you had to prompt me to remember, I think, Donald Trump's middle name or something
like
that.
Well, anyway, but that happens to all of us.
Well, it happens to you when you're older. You start to forget things. You forget very obvious things. Now, Trump brags about his performance on the Montreal cognitive test. I've taken the cognitive test and scored real well. Somebody ought to challenge Biden to take the thing. But
I think they have, and he viewed it as an insult.
Yeah, but that's, 77, I think, is, well, he'll be 78 if he were elected.
And he'll be 86 when he leaves office if he serves two terms.
I don't think that's wise. And I know that because I'm the same age, and I know how much I've slowed down.
Trump is reelected. He'll be 78 when he leaves. And and also, don't rule it out. If he loses, this guy, he'll be back in 4 years running again. He could be the Republican nominee at 78 to run again.
Well, I'd like to look at some of the younger people in the Republican Party. Well, I am in love with the governor of South Dakota, who's the most beautiful woman in American politics, but then I'm a sexist.
Well, and you're also, you come from the TV world where appearance matters, and we're going to get to a question from a listener, but Henry at the Country Club has been waiting patiently. Henry, you're on with George Sells.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Mr. George. On that last topic, I wouldn't mind if Uncle Joe weren't able to run, I wouldn't mind having Mr. George as president for 4 years. It'd be a hell of a lot better than what we got. But
Henry,
get down to the important
smoking?
Thing. No, it's a great morning. Let's get to the elephant in the room. everybody in Baton Rouge that can read read Sunday morning's paper, Mark Ballard's column, about your partner, Donna Britt, and the challenges that are being thrown in front of her to be able to vote. It's a sin and a shame and a crime that she has to go through all that just to get a mail ballot so that she can exercise her constitutional responsibility.
Yeah, well, that's going to be in court. I think they have final arguments on the 12th and 13th of this month now being September. I don't think that the Secretary of State's decision is going to hold because it is unreasonable. Those are one of the toughest parameters for a voter to face, and I don't know why the Secretary of State is doing that. For instance, I'm 77 now, and when I vote, I will be 78, and I'm a high probability risk for the COVID. And do I want to stand in line to vote? No, I'd rather vote by mail. I don't know why he is being so strict with the thing. Well, I do know he's trying to toe the Republican line. But it'll be argued in the court, and I guess Judge, is it Hicks, will probably have a decision before Election Day. But you're right. It's an awfully high bar to pass to just vote. But Donna will vote, by George.
877-217-5757. George Sells with us for a few more minutes, and you mentioned how appearance matters. You like the governor of South Dakota because she's attractive. Well, what about...
Not attractive. She's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in American politics.
Well, she's attractive. Okay. Okay. But Joe Biden and Donald Trump have seen better days. I noticed your friend Rush Limbaugh calls Biden plugs, as for the hair plugs, that's his nickname.
And of course, a lot of people don't understand that. He's going to have to explain it more.
Nancy Pelosi has called Trump morbidly obese, but they'll be on the same stage, presumably, at least once and probably more than once, and appearance, and certainly people will be looking at both of them. They're both well into their 70s. Do you think debates are going to matter this time or just another day at the show?
On the debates, yeah, particularly if one of them scores a knockout punch. But I don't think they will, because they'll both be well-prepared. I don't remember Trump scoring knockout points against Mrs. Clinton in the last debate, except for his walking up behind her and making her uncomfortable and making the man look stronger just by his appearance.
Called her a nasty woman. But here's a story from March 24th of 2018, almost 2.5 years ago. Gail Collins in the New York Times says, Biden says, if he and Trump were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him. And Trump responded, crazy Joe Biden would go down fast and hard, crying all the way.
Tough guys.
Wouldn't it be something if they got into a fistic encounter, George?
Two old men. Yeah. I heard something about push-ups. Let's have a contest on push-ups. Doesn't Biden do push-ups?
He does. Apparently push-ups and lifts weights. I think he's in better shape than Trump, although Jim Mayer called and said that Trump's in better shape. But I'll take the bet on that one.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Appearances. Appearances are everything in debates.
Hurricane Laura. You follow hurricanes with a vengeance, and this one hit Louisiana, and we had the mayor on yesterday, Nick Hunter from Lake Charles. He says 100% of the city is without power. This could take 3 months or more. It is a mess.
It is a mess. And one of the things that really struck me about Governor Edwards' news conference yesterday was he said, listen to this statistic if you don't listen to anything else. He said there are 13,000 line workers, electrical line workers here from 29 states. Among those is probably a Wichita lineman. but, I mean, that is an incredible workforce, And that says a lot of things are going to be done. And that's not government doing that. That is private enterprise sending those people down here. What angers me so much is hearing television stations, I'm able to watch Alexandria TV stations with an antenna, and hearing them put up help sites for the people out there in the worst hit zones of Southwest Louisiana, saying, go to the internet and check the websites for help here and check the websites for help there. Hell, they can't see television, and they can't go to computer websites. They don't have any power. And I haven't seen anybody say, well, you can go to a website. What they need are charging stations for their telephones. They need some of the basic things that I'm sure they're getting, but we're not hearing anything about it. Go to this website. Check WAFB.com for thus and such. They can't do that. They've got no water. They probably don't have any, a lot of them don't have any paper to write on because of the flooding of their homes from the open ceilings.
Well, George, it is always a pleasure to catch up with you, full of vim and vigor, as he approaches birthday number 78 on October 7th. And we'll have you back, hopefully, October 7th. Let's make it a date.
Okay.
The Reverend David Diamond is next. Should be interesting. Now the news.